Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is Tales of the Wicked.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tales of the Wicked. We have big, exciting news. We're sitting together right
Oh.
now. We're staring at each other across the table into each other's eyes.
I was saying, what's your news, Sid? But yeah.
No, that's my news, is that we're together for the first time in like a month.
It's been 2 months. Long time.
It's been a minute.
I think the last time we recorded together was when we recorded two episodes back to back.
We did a double.
The Jacob Wetterling and Covina.
So it's been a minute.
Or
I thought, no, it's the Mansfield.
The ghost ones.
Yeah, it was the ghost ones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our other back-to-back.
Yes, we had a lot of back-to-backs, but that's okay. But it's our first time sitting together in a while. How you feeling? What's been going on? How you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm ready for a nap, but that's normal.
Well, we have been sitting here for a good hour or so
yeah.
and haven't done anything, so that's fair.
I feel like this is my first week I don't have anything to complain about.
Well, that's not good. We need you to complain about something.
No, I think...
Nothing's bothering you?
Well, everything's bothering me. I'm just...
You're feeling good?
I think I've come to terms with it all for right now.
No complaints? I have a complaint. Kind of. Maybe.
What?
Not really. It's not. Shouldn't be a
You're
complaint.
Complaining in this room and it's hot.
Open a window.
You'll hear the hicks of this town.
Everyone loves this town. Don't say that. Okay, but so I was coming here... And I have to, you know, like the bridge you have to go over to by my, go over at my house.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the railroad
yeah.
right on the one side of it. So I have to go, you don't know, do you?
No, I
do. Oh, you're thinking about the trains?
I'm thinking about the trains.
Okay. Do you want to tell everyone about the trains?
I don't want to talk about the trains. It's okay. Moving on.
We'll maybe come back to it.
I didn't talk about the lake house. You don't need to
that
talk about the trains.
That is a terrible story. Such
Moving
a
on.
Bad. I actually was listening to a podcast, John and I were, and it's a really popular podcast. And the one of the hosts was talking about one of his stories that was like not as bad as mine, but kind of like the same thing. Cause like he was famous and he was around a bunch of famous people and like the same thing happened. It didn't go through the ceiling or anything, but but I was like, oh man, he's like actually famous and talked about it. Like
yeah.
I could do it, but we're not going to. Anyway, so I was coming here and I have to go over this bridge. I go over every single day to get to work and there's train tracks at the one side of it. And, there's like the train tracks and then there's a light to turn and the light to turn like stays red for a really long time. And then you get like 2 minutes to actually turn and like the line of traffic's long. So I was behind a PARTA bus, which is like a public transportation bus.
Oh.
They had to stop at the train tracks to open up the door to listen.
Yeah.
And then they took so long, the light turned yellow, and
oh,
I was like,
no.
What the heck? So I was, like, sitting there, and I was like, why do buses have to stop at train tracks anyways? Like, the train track, like,
school buses do it, too.
Yeah. All, like, public transportation has to do it.
Yeah.
So I was like, why do they always have to do this? Like, I don't understand. If there was a train coming, like, the thing's gonna go down. You're about to yawn. I can see it. Oh, that was so funny. I can see it in your face.
It kind of just went through my nostrils. Like, we're good though.
Okay. I was sitting there and I was like, if a train's coming, the lights are going to flash. You'll know it's coming. So I Googled it because I had to sit there for 5 minutes at the red light until I could turn. And it was like, it said because school buses and like
so big.
Yeah, they're so big. They have so many people on the bus. And
you have
if,
to make double sure that they don't, like, they're not in the middle of the tracks when
yeah,
the thing comes down.
Instead, if a train were to come, like, all of those people can't get off the bus quick enough. And I was like, well, fuck all the people. I want to make my red or my green light before it turns red. And I was like, that's really morbid. You probably shouldn't think that way. If I was on a bus, I would want it to stop. And
it's
look.
Not morbid.
But,
it's just selfish.
But, like, yeah, it is selfish. So, but, like, they literally, like, stop, open the doors for 2 minutes. Close
yeah,
the doors,
I've seen a
and
bus
then go.
Before.
I know, but like, how you're barely listening.
I'm listening.
No, I'm saying like the
oh.
bus driver is barely
listening. They met me.
Oh man. chance.
Maybe we shouldn't record together.
Man, okay, well, that was my complaint, was about buses. Because it made me sit at a red light. And it happens to me, because when I'm leaving for work, there's always, like, school buses out to take kids to school.
Oh, and that's the worst.
It happens to me all the time. And I don't know why today I felt the need to look it up, because I was so mad about it. But yes, if anyone wanted to know, which you already knew that, it's big, it's got a lot of people. They'll all die if they don't listen for the train.
Sorry. Had one in me still. Coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
I had to get that yawn out.
So, okay, in the middle of your rant, I thought of something.
Yeah.
It's called a Parta bus?
Parta bus, yes.
I thought it was always called a Sparta bus.
Like
Sparta.
This is...
Yeah.
Does he say Sparta?
Yeah.
Spartan? Sparta?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Parta. I don't know what it stands for. P-A-T-R-A? Parta? I don't think they're all called that, though. That's just what the ones in Kent are called. And they have, like, a little dog with spots on the side of it.
Oh. I've never seen that before. That's a campus bus.
Yeah, it's a campus bus, but they also drive throughout Kent and Ravenna. So, like, at the hospital, because the hospital's in Ravenna that I work at, they have, like, bus stops to take patients to the hospital that live, like, within the area. Have you ever been on, like, a public transportation Parta type bus?
No. And that's honestly... Okay, so, little story about me real quick. When I was little... When I say little, I mean, like, 12.
Okay.
Littler than I am now.
Yes.
But, Okay, so my parents got divorced when I was, like, 12, and my dad lived in Florida, my mom lived in Ohio, so we would spend our summers in Florida, and my dad worked all day, and so we were basically left to our own, like, decision-making from 6 a.m. until about 7 p.m.
And so all day?
Yeah, so we would stay up all night long, so we would be awake when my dad left for work. As soon as he left for work, we would all get up. And by all, I mean just me and one of my brothers. And we would leave our house at about 6 a.m. and walk around town until 5 p.m. and then go back to the house and fall asleep. But I was told, like, oh, because my family, like, they set up weird rules. Like, oh, when you're 10, you're allowed to say crap. When you're 12, you're allowed to
take apart a bus.
Well, my dad said, when you guys are, like, 12 or 13, you're allowed to take the bus on your own. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I'm so excited to take this bus. Like, I'm going to go places on my own. And he goes, well, not you. You're a girl. You're not allowed to go on a bus at all. I'm like,
what? So you've never been on a...
No. I also wasn't allowed to walk around the neighborhood by myself because I was a girl. I was only allowed to go to the stop sign and back. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, what was the reason? I can't wait to be a parent, because I can't wait for, like, a kid to ask me to do something, and I'm like, no, well, what's the reason?
His reason...
Because I'm your mom, no.
His reason is because I'm a girl, and
which
I can't defend myself.
Which is a shitty reason.
Have you met my dad?
One time, and I didn't say hi to him, I just saw him at your wedding.
Well, if you met him, it would explain a lot.
Woody Harrelson. I was like, oh my god, I'm such a big fan, and he was like, don't talk to me.
He looks... Please, no flash photography.
No, that was
he looks exactly like
dad.
Him. Yeah.
That's about it. Oh, well, you're not really missing anything. They kind of suck a lot.
I assume they do, but man, I wanted to ride one of those buses. I was so excited. Like, I called my friends back in Ohio. I'm like, you guys, this year is the year. I'm going to get to ride a bus.
And then
no one cared at all.
No, because it's just a bus.
Like, it was an independence factor.
There is an independence. You. Okay, that makes sense. Well, I had to ride them in college all the time because I had to park like 5 miles away from campus. And the bus arrives at a certain time and it leaves at a certain time and you cannot run late.
Nope.
And if there's one thing that I always, always do is run late. So it's not very fun.
Yeah, you do run late. There are, Sarta buses.
Sarta buses.
Not Sparta.
Okay. What is there, a Sarta bus?
South Carolina.
Oh my gosh. Well, good thing we don't live in South Carolina.
I frequent South Carolina.
When? When you drive through it to go to Outer Banks?
Yeah.
Is Outer Banks in?
It's in A, Carolina.
It's probably in South.
It's
in... No, it's in South. Guarantee it. I really hope everyone can hear you humming right now.
North Carolina.
Thank is you. It in North Carolina? Mm-hmm. North Carolina is the better out of the two Carolinas.
It is.
Like, you know me, I don't really want to move. I'd rather just live here and, like, go travel and see places and then always come back. Like, when we came back to Vegas, you were like, I'm pissed because I'm back in Ohio and I hate Ohio.
I'm still pissed about it. Yeah,
like, John and I came home and we were like, oh, we're home. This feels so good. Like, you also live in a trash town, let's be real.
I sat on the plane with, like, a this face the whole time, like a, this sucks.
This is disgusting. But, no, I do, oh, I mean, there's a lot of crappy places to Ohio, but, like, we live in the better section of Ohio. Like, south, like, down south in Ohio, there's nothing but cornfields. At least we live next to Cleveland, and we can get to Columbus in 20 God. Minutes.
Not Cleveland. I hate Cleveland.
I don't even actually like Cleveland. I never go to Cleveland.
We always go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh's superior. But, it doesn't matter. But still, anyways, I went to North Carolina, like, 2 times last year. I went to Wilmington, Carolina Beach, and then Greensboro. Mm-hmm. I would move there. Like, I was telling John, I was like, I've never gone anywhere and was like, I like this place enough to leave my family and move here. But when we were there, I was like, it's just a nicer Ohio. It literally is. It felt exactly like Ohio, mm-hmm. only it's just nicer.
Yeah, I
got some warm weather.
I think I have family, it's in one of the Carolinas, I don't know where they are, but I've always, like, had a reason to go to North Carolina, mm-hmm. just for either, like, stopping by for, like, a day because I'm driving through mm-hmm. or whatever. But it's always been one of those states. I really, really like that state.
Yeah.
That and Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I would move there in a heartbeat.
I'm going to Tennessee in June.
Oh, nice.
We're doing a family thing to Gatlinburg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be my first time in Tennessee. And I've heard a lot of good things about Gatlinburg, too.
I want to go there really bad.
Really? So I was thinking, I know Jason and Katie have been there. We're going to go there for the first time. And it's essentially like a lot nicer of a camping trip than we already do. So it would be fun if we all did it. We'd obviously have to drive there.
Mm-hmm.
But
how far of a drive is it?
I think it's 7 hours.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's really far.
You can get there in a day.
Yeah, exactly. It would be fun if we all did it because we all like camping and stuff, but... What are you doing over there?
Trying to be really quiet about this peanut.
Eat your peanut. But it would be fun to do all of us. Like, especially, like, once we all have kids and stuff like that. But then also, we'd have to stay there for a long time all together yeah. with our kids. And that, I don't know how that's going to work.
I mean... I think cocking goes is fine.
But speaking of trips, we're going to go to Outer Banks.
Are you guys officially going?
We're going to go. Good. We're just deciding if we're doing the whole week or if we're just doing part of the week.
Yeah.
Because that Monday that you guys are there is Labor Day or Memorial Day. I don't mm-hmm. really know which one it is. But John and I both Labor Day. So John and I both have off work. So we're like, well, that's one less day you have to take PTO to be there. So we were like, this kind of works. Because you said you get there on Saturday. So we're like, mm-hmm. okay, like
Saturday. Yeah, we get a Saturday to Saturday rental.
Mm-hmm. So we'll all be at the beach.
Yeah.
We'll do cool. a beach episode.
Oh, God. My first episode was supposed to be a beach episode. But
I remember that.
All these noisy bitches kept walking in the house, so I couldn't record. And by noisy bitches, I mean my family. I mean my small nieces.
You're digging yourself in a hole over there.
They are noisy bitches, and no one in my family listens, so I can say this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying I don't like them. I'm just saying they're noisy. Bitches.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah. But that's about all I got for you. I didn't plan anything for this.
Oh, well, I did.
I know you did.
I came up with this 2 minutes ago.
Okay. Okay. Cue Megan. What do you have for us?
So, I thought it'd be... Okay, so we've talked about, like, serial killer questionnaire kind of thing. We talked about last meals... So now I want to know, what would your last word be?
Last word?
What are your parting, you're sent to death for being a little bitch.
glad we agreed on that.
Yeah. Well, that's when we both be killed. Okay, so we're both being killed because...
being killed together.
How about we're both on death row because John was mean to you, so I killed him. And Aaron disappeared but blamed it on you because he's manipulative.
Oh my God.
And you would take the blame. So what are your last words?
I don't know. Do you have your last words?
I feel like I would say something just kind of like, meh, it's about time. I'm ready.
You don't think you'd be like scared in that moment while laying there about to die? Close your eyes, the long nap, never wake up again.
It's one of those things where I don't know how I'm going to feel unless I'm in that situation. But thinking about it, like, I'm not going to feel pain.
Yeah, but you're about to die. Death scares me, so I'd probably be sobbing like a baby. I wouldn't get anything. My last words would be like, dead.
Like SpongeBob when he's gasping for you.
Need water. Water. Pinky's out. I'll stick my pinky up.
When in doubt, pinky out. And you just go, bitch.
Can that be our tagline? When in doubt, pinky's out.
No.
I thought it was pretty good.
That's good, but like for a tea drinking podcast, not
murder.
Crime.
So we're laying on the tables next to each other and you go, oh, well, it's about time. And I'm like, I'm not ready.
So I found some, I just went to one website.
People's last words.
No, I just Googled famous last words death row. And I have to look at what, website I actually went to. But I got a few good ones. So this is from Jeffrey David Matthews. He was put to death in 2011 in Oklahoma. Don't know what for.
Okay.
His quote is, I think the governor's phone is broke. He hadn't called yet. Do you know why he said that?
No.
Okay, so from what I... Oh my goodness. Sorry, we have a very angry baby downstairs.
Yeah, we do.
So from what I know, the governor can call at, like, the last second and, forgive someone on death row. So they're kind of like... Before they put someone to death, they're, like, waiting for the governor to call to be like, oh, don't kill him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
And this guy also looks like the guy who plays Alex Karev in Grey's Anatomy. But, like, if he were a redneck.
I was going to say, he looks like a redneck version of
Alex Karev. It's his eyes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, this next one, I don't know if his name is George Apple or George Appel.
Okay.
How would you pronounce that?
Appel.
That's what I thought.
But I see the what's yeah. before it.
So his quote is, well, gentlemen, you're about to see a baked apple.
That's pretty cool.
Or baked Appel.
That's pretty cool.
I'm assuming apple.
I like that one, yeah. I mean, I gotta say, if I'm sitting in prison for years waiting for death row, I'm sure I can come up with something creative.
Okay, this one is you.
Okay, all right, I'm ready.
Don't think I got this guy's name. Oh, Robert Charles Towery. His quote is, quote, I love my family. Potato, potato, potato.
That's me. Yeah. That's me. I'm going to be a baked potato. I'm going to take both Ooh. Of theirs. Yeah, I'll just call. That would be me. Like, I love my family. I love my, well, my husband's dead because you killed him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I love my family and... You're going to see a baked potato.
And I'm a potato.
And I'm a baked potato. That's mine.
And then this is probably one of the more well-known ones. And my personal favorite.
Okay.
So this is from a guy named James French. And his is, quote, how about this for a headline for tomorrow's papers? French fries.
I like the play on their last names and then, like, mm-hmm. cooked foods.
Yeah.
So they're about to die.
That's all I have for you.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
So while we were taking our little break, so you could check on Sweet Baby P, mm-hmm. I pulled up Facebook, and the first thing that popped up was a video that says, orchestra eats hot world's hottest chili and then tries to play. And it's like an entire orchestra and they're all smiling, holding a pepper, and then they eat it and then they're playing a tango song. And it's literally all of them like tears running down their face and like their faces are beet red and you see the veins coming out of like their forehead and they're playing instruments.
It's so stupid.
And then it stops and they all are like, oh, like moaning, and like you hear people like coughing and throwing up and they're running off stage. Thank you, Facebook. I really did want to see that.
Oh, man.
Well, that was good. Well, speaking of murdering husbands, you know I like to pick a good old relationship case, and that's exactly what I got for you this week.
Oh, I'm excited.
What I actually really like this one. So I heard it a while ago, and I've been wanting to do it, but I don't know why I haven't done it. I don't know. Because I did, like, a paranormal one. Because paranormal ones I thought were a little bit easier to find the information on.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't.
It's been a while since you've done a case.
Yeah, I know. But I've had this one on my list for a while. And then I finally decided to do it. But my case this week is the case of Emma Walker.
I've never heard this one.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, all right. Well, cool. Well, that's what my case is this week.
So good. It's a fun surprise.
I'm going to turn my laptop here. So whenever I went to go, like, onto my Google Docs to, like, pull up my notes, I had like the title of the case and it said the case of Emma Watson, and I was like, Emma Watson? I don't know. I was like, was that her last name? And then I typed Walker the rest of the time. I was like, no, her last name is Walker. Mm-hmm. I just typed in the title wrong.
Emma Watson.
This is the case of Emma Walker, not Emma Watson. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
Tell me a story.
Telling you a story here. All right. The year is 2014 in Knoxville, Tennessee, and 14-year-old Emma Walker was a freshman in high school. She was a cheerleader, an honor student, and volunteered at an animal shelter. She had a bright and promising future ahead of her with the goal to go to college and become a NICU nurse. Friends and family described Emma as the type of person that had a smile that could light up any room that she walked into. Emma was kind and compassionate, and she was liked by all. She started dating her first high school boyfriend her freshman year, and his name was Riley Gall. Riley was a wide receiver on the football team and your typical jock. He had a lot of friends, he was a good student, and my personal favorite fun fact, he liked Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
I don't like him, but I like Star Wars, and I like that he likes Star Wars. She was a freshman, he was a junior, she was on the cheerleading squad, he was on the football team. They were your
picture perfect,
quote, perfect high school couple.
Mm-hmm.
When Emma's parents, Jill and Mark, first met Riley, they had nothing but good things to say, and they even called him the boy next door. Although things were not as perfect as they seemed, and slowly others around them began to notice the warning signs. Not long after Emma and Riley started dating, she found out he was still dating another girl who he claimed was an ex. Things continued to get worse from there. Riley slowly became controlling and possessive over Emma. He started by secluding her from her parents and her friends, and then slowly began telling her what she could and couldn't say and where. It eventually got to the point where he would drive her to work, sit outside of the building for hours, and then wait for her to get off and drive her home.
Ugh.
So, yeah, when Riley's junior prom came, because he was 2 years older, when his junior prom came, he told Emma that he was going to take that other girl with him and that he has another prom. So when his senior prom comes around, then he can take Emma.
Ugh.
Yeah. So even though Emma was really upset and didn't like it, she agreed to it and let him do it.
Because she didn't feel like she had a choice of it.
Yes, exactly.
Ugh.
Emma and Riley continued to date on and off for 2 years. Each time they broke up, the pair would post it all over the internet. Riley was also known for sending Emma mean texts that would say that he hated her and he would often call her a bitch. Not only were tensions high within her relationship, but also with her parents and friends. Emma's parents came across one of Riley's mean texts and confronted her about it. They didn't approve of the relationship and how Emma was being treated. And in efforts to try to keep the couple apart, Jill and Mark banned Riley from coming to the house and took Emma's phone. But we all know how teens like to work. If they want something, they're going to get it, and that's exactly what happened. So she used her iPod, she had Wi-Fi, and she was able to text him anytime Wi-Fi was available.
You could text on an iPod?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, well, so when I was grounded in high school and my phone got taken away, I had an iPod, and you just download like a texting app, and then you can text through Wi-Fi.
We probably had different iPods then.
Well, so I originally had like the little tiny like clip iPod where you just played music in, but when you got like the one that looked like little mini iPhones,
I never
like you could put apps on it and you could play games and take pictures and stuff.
Oh no, I don't think I had that one. Okay. I just had like mine was the step above the clip one, so it had the screen on it, but it was a small screen. So,
okay, yeah,
that was the one I had.
So she, well, if you think about it, so. She was a freshman in high school in 2014. Like, okay. That's when I graduated.
Yeah.
Did you graduate in 14? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right, because you're a year older, but yeah. Okay.
But I got held back.
You got held back. So, yeah, we both graduated in 2014. So, think about, like, she was a freshman. Like, yeah, that's iPods a good point. And all of
so
that.
They have, like, the newer ones.
Yes.
And,
okay. Yeah. Hold so, really okay. So, we're going to jump ahead 2 years. They started dating in 2014. They dated for 2 years. It is now fall of 2016.
Okay.
Emma is now a junior in high school, and Riley is a freshman in college. He stayed close to home, going to college only 30 minutes away. It didn't take long until Emma started receiving pictures of Riley at college with other girls, and she had finally had enough. She ended the relationship with Riley, and life started to get a little bit better for her. She was around her friends again, and her relationship with her parents were back to normal. But it comes to no surprise that Riley did not take the breakup well. While he was in his college dorm, he swallowed a bunch of Vicodin pills and washed them down with alcohol in attempt to commit suicide. And then his roommates also described him as to have terrible mood swings. On November 18th, only 2 weeks after Emma and Riley's breakup, Emma and a friend went to a party. And it wasn't like someone that she was dating or anything. It was just a friend that she had. Yeah.
Yeah.
While at the party, she was getting weird text messages from a number that she didn't know. And the messages were saying things like, come outside alone if you don't want to see a loved one get hurt. And I've got someone you love. If you don't comply, I will hurt them. Originally, Emma just kept saying no, told him to leave her alone, and she said to her friend that this is probably just Riley and his friends playing a prank on her. She didn't believe that it was anything serious. Then she got a message that kind of said, you know, it's funny how you could love someone so much and then not care if they get hurt. So annoyed, her and her friend finally went outside of the house of this party. When they did, this is where they found a confused Riley laying face down in a ditch in front of the house. When they went to Riley, he kept claiming that he was kidnapped. He had no idea how he got there. He didn't know what happened. Someone hit him over the head and they stuffed him in a van. And then he just woke up in front of this house. Emma obviously did not believe him and was like, hey, we're broken up. Leave me alone. Like, figure this out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So Riley ends up calling his roommates, said the same thing. Like, hey, I've been kidnapped. Someone hit me over the head. I don't know what's going on. Like, come pick me up. So yeah. His roommates go to get him. His roommates say, like, if this actually happened, like, we should probably go to the police about this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, thinking logically. And he was like, oh, no. It's not that serious. Like, I don't want to take it to the police. And they were like, well, like, you've been kidnapped. You're saying that someone took you. And he's like, no, I'm okay. We don't need to go to the police. So.
Yeah, because it didn't happen.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's what we're thinking. He actually claims that he actually was kidnapped. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't go away from that. The next day...
And a lot of killers say that they didn't do it.
So, yeah.
I mean...
The next day, November 19th, Emma was supposed to meet her mom out that morning, but didn't end up leaving the house. Emma noticed that there was a man dressed in all black walking around her house, and that the man even tried to come up to the front door and was rattling on the doorknob trying to get in. Terrified and alone, Emma texts the first person that she knew would come help her, and that was Riley. Her text to him said, quote, I hate you, but I need you right now. Riley was very quick to come to the house and try to keep Emma safe. He checked around the house for the man, but he was nowhere to be found.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
Sorry, I like to do this.
Yeah.
So my thoughts right now are he wants Emma to think that she still needs him. So he's like hiring someone to fuck with her, basically.
That's a good thought.
All right, continue.
We're gonna continue.
That's just what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
I like to make like guesses.
No, that's okay. I like that. In the meantime, Riley was supposed to meet her mom that morning, and mm-hmm. She obviously did not show up. So Jill, Emma's mom, drove home to check on Emma because mm-hmm. she didn't make it to their plans. When Jill got home, she found Riley in the house with Emma, and he clearly was not allowed to be there. They were broken up. They banned him from the house. So when she got there, she politely just said, hey, like, you know, she wasn't mean about it. She was like, you are not allowed to be here. You need to leave.
Yeah.
After he left, Emma told her mom, you know, there is a man in all black. He was walking around the property. He was shaking the doorknob. He was trying to get in the house. I was just scared, so I called Riley. And the mom was like, hey, like, come on now. Like, that was probably just him. Like, you just had this weird thing last night where he was kidnapped and was in the ditch. And then now this morning, there's a man walking around. But Emma was actually scared. She didn't think that it was him. She thought that someone was walking around the house trying to get her.
Yeah.
So she asked her parents if they could set the alarms at the house, and she made sure that she stayed close to them.
Mm-hmm.
It is 6 a.m. Monday morning, November 21st. Jill realized that Emma wasn't downstairs getting ready for school. She went upstairs to check on her and experienced every parent's worst nightmare. When initially opening the door, Emma appeared to be sleeping in her bed. Jill called her name out a couple of times to wake her. After not responding, Jill started to panic and walked over to her bed. She called out Emma's name a couple more times and tried to shake her awake. There was still no response. Jill immediately checked for her pulse, and there was nothing. In complete panic, Jill called 911. Her 16-year-old daughter, Emma Walker, was dead. Knox County Sheriff's Deputy Nikki Bowles, the lead forensic technician on the case, said that the call originally came in as a possible suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Emma's body was in her bed, and then there was a small amount of blood on her pillow. The thought was that Emma ingested something to commit suicide, which caused her to just cough up a little bit of blood or maybe throw up a little blood.
Yeah.
But for the most part, she was just laying in her bed peacefully, just a little tiny spot of blood on her pillow, and that's it. There were no signs of forced entry in the home, and that there was no suspicion that this was a murder case at all. Until when they were taking pictures of the bedroom, they noticed a small hole in the wall at the head of Emma's bed. Investigators went outside of the home and found a shell casing in the grass near the hole.
I heard about this on the news.
So this case completely turned upside down. This wasn't a suicide. This was a murder. When they were outside, so the way that her room was placed, if you think about a corner, mm-hmm. so her room was on the outside corner of the house.
Yeah.
So on the one side of the room, which is the head of her bed, there was a hole, a very tiny hole in the wall, and there was a shell casing. So they turned to the corner of the house, which is another side of her room. They found another hole in the wall, and they found another shell casing outside. They went inside after, and once they came back into the house, they looked at Emma's body a second time, kind of combed through her hair, and they discovered that there was one entry wound at the top of her head. There wasn't an exit wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second bullet was stuffed in her pillow. So the thought is, if you're looking at the corner of her room, the one by the head of her bed went right into her head. And then if you turn the corner, the other one shot towards her laying in bed, but it got stuck in her pillow.
Mm-hmm.
While the Walker's family home was being taped off and investigated, Jill and Mark, her parents, still had no idea that their daughter, they still had the thought that her daughter committed suicide. They didn't know anything else was wrong.
Yeah.
They just knew that they were told to leave the house, and then more people started to show up, and that was it. Word of Emma traveled really fast. Rumors of her committing suicide were going around school, and friends were quick to post pictures of Emma online. Riley was among the many people to pay tribute to the bright and bubbly girl that was gone way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
He made a post about how much he loved her and that she was his sweetheart and that may she rest in peace. No one that was posting these things were aware of the reality of the situation and what was being discovered inside of the home. Once receiving the news, Emma's friends and family were devastated. The night after her death, they held a candlelit remembrance for her, and the fellow cheerleaders released balloons in her memory that week at the Bobcats football game. Police brought in Emma's family and friends for questioning, and one name continued to come up over and over again, Riley Gall. It was known how terribly Riley treated Emma over the course of their relationship. They had just broken up 2 weeks ago, and there was those weird kind of interactions or events that had happened between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
only 2 days before her death. So police brought in Riley for questioning, as well as his roommates, Noah Walton and Alex McCarty, because his roommates saw him take those pills and commit suicide. They were around him during his mood swing, so they came in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Police questioned Riley on his whereabouts of the past 72 hours.
sorry, one more thing.
Yeah.
That, and they picked him up after the supposed kidnapping, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they probably think that they have something to do with that. Okay.
The interrogation lasts over 2 hours. During the 2 hours, Riley would only reference Emma as the girl. He would never say her name. He would always say, like, oh, well, that girl. Oh, this girl. He showed little compassion and concern towards her. He stated that Emily had sent him cruel text messages that night and that he was at college sitting in his car bawling for over 3 hours over the breakup. While Riley's interrogation was deny, 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 things were going very differently with his roommates, Noah and Alex. During their time with the police, they didn't hold anything back. They stated that Riley went to his grandpa's house, stole his 9mm handgun, and showed it to them. Riley claimed that someone was out to get him and Emma and that he needed to have it for protection. He kept saying that he was fearful for his life and that's why he needed it. He wasn't going to use the handgun for anything, for a suicidal reason.
Well, no, he wasn't. For murder reason.
Roommate Noah Walton also told the police that Riley approached him separately asking how to get fingerprints off of a gun. Noah said, quote, I told him obviously not and not to ever ask me a question like that again. And he said, I know, it was for a roommate. I thought it was weird. When police confronted Riley about having the gun and showing it to his roommates, he continued to deny it. At one point, Riley asked the police, am I a suspect? And the police responded, should you be?
Yeah, why would you? He's so stupid. Yeah. And then, sorry, I have to interrupt again because this always pisses me off in cases. Okay, so you had the know-all to, like, not tell him how to get fingerprints off a gun. So why couldn't you take it just one step further and tell the police? Like,
yeah, like, if someone has a gun and says, how do I get fingerprints off of the gun? Why weren't? But also, if you go to the police and say, like, I have a friend who has a gun and they're asking me this question, like, what do the police do?
Well, at least make them known, like, know about it, you know? Like,
yeah.
See something, say something. Like, if someone's being shady, fucking tell someone. Right. Maybe not the police. Okay, you're a teenager. You're in college. Tell your parents. They can help you handle it. Like,
yeah. It's also, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, you're 19 years old. Like, someone comes to you and says, like, hey, I have this gun. Well, he claimed he took it for protection. He needed to save him and Emma. Like, he was setting up his story.
Still.
You know what I mean? But how do you look at someone and think, like, oh, they might kill, you know what I mean? Like,
well, even, like, in my head, like, okay, they thought that he might be suicidal. And he said, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to kill myself with it. Even, like, never take someone's word for it. Like, no matter what you think the outcome might be, like, tell someone. Yeah. Like, clearly,
something is not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell someone. Like, right. I'm just letting you right now. If you're acting shady, I'm fucking telling someone. Right. So
that's fair. I like that. Thank you. Clearly, these friends weren't like, you ever see those things online that's like, oh, your friend calls you because they need to bury a body. What do you do? And it's like, people are like, oh, bitch, I'm coming. I'm helping you or whatever. Like, these were not those friends.
Bitch, I'm telling.
We're not those friends. No. Like, don't kill someone. Don't be that person.
Well, if I do, I'm not telling you about it.
Well, there you go.
You wouldn't be able to handle it.
I wouldn't. I'd, like, pass out. All right. When Riley and his roommates were together again Monday night after the interrogations, Riley started to threaten Noah and Alex. He told them that he told his lawyer that both Noah and Alex were high on acid and that they don't actually remember anything that happened. Obviously, doing acid is not legal, so they can get in a lot of trouble for that. So he kept telling them, don't talk to the police. If you talk to the police, like, my lawyer knows that you were high on acid. I'll tell the police that you were high on acid and you're going to get in trouble. Immediately, Noah and Alex reached out to the police that let them know that Riley was threatening them. It was at this time that the police and Riley's roommates planned to work together. On Tuesday night, just one day after Emma's murder, the police wired the two teens up with microphones, a transmitter where police could listen in, a video camera hidden in a key fob, and planned out a sting operation to recover the potential murder weapon. We have a new podcast guest, Parker.
We're going to try to keep him quiet.
He might chip in while we're reading the story. All right. So they go to the police, him and the police and the friends come up with the operation to find the murder weapon. All right. Noah and Alex sat with Riley and started to gain his trust. Riley pulled out the handgun and said that he needed their help to get rid of it. They drove to a nearby lake where police met them and Riley Gall was arrested. The operation was a success. In addition to retrieving the handgun, police also found black gloves and clothing in Riley's dorm, connecting him to the man in all black that was at Emma's house a couple days before. Riley Gall's trial started May of 2018, and his defense attorney stated that it was never Riley's intention to kill Emma. He just wanted to try to scare her. Quote, he never intended to cause her harm, never intended to cause her death. Consistent with her reaching out to Riley regarding the events Saturday morning, he was attempting to get her to ask him for help again, sort of to be her protector. It's been in his heart, it's been in his mind, it's been in just about everything about him. Sorry. Every day, for the rest of his life, wherever that may be, he will have to live with that reality. After 5 hours of deliberation, jurors found Gall, now 19 years old, guilty of first-degree murder as well as stalking, theft, reckless endangerment, and being in possession of a firearm during a dangerous felony. In the state of Tennessee, a first-degree murder conviction carries an automatic life sentence. Riley spoke in court saying, quote, I'm sorry I took Emma away from you, that I robbed you the experience of watching your daughter grow up. What I can do is tell the truth about that night. I wanted to scare her. I never meant to take Emma's life. Again, I'm sorry. Riley still denies being the man in all black, and he also says that he actually was really kidnapped. Since her death, Emma's family has tried to keep her legacy alive. Her mother said she loved animals and wanted to be a NICU nurse. So the family has gotten a dog park and a NICU patient room at East Tennessee Children's Hospital named after her. Quote, it's all things that were a part of Emma and all mean something. She added that she hopes people remember her by being kind to others. And that is the story of Emma Walker.
Aww.
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole.
I really like this case because, like, obviously this kid's shitty. Like, he controlled her. He manipulated her. I think that he wasn't kidnapped, obviously. I think that he laid in front of a ditch and was texting her, waiting for her to come out. Yeah. I think that he was the person in all in black that was trying to, you know, scare her. But, you know, he was manipulating her and believing that someone was after her and he was going to be the one that was going to save her. And that was his intention with the gun as well. You shouldn't go shooting into people's houses. I just don't know how he is standing on the outside of the house in the middle of the night with no aim whatsoever and can perfectly shoot a bullet through the wall of her home and into her head. Like, how did, you know what I mean? And then the second one just got stuck in her pillow.
Well, my guess, now this is just a wild guess, but, like, he's probably been to their house a lot.
Oh, yeah, a couple times. More than a couple times. They dated on and off for 2 years.
Yeah, so he probably knows fairly well where her bedroom is. Yeah. Even from the outside of the house.
Right.
He probably knew exactly, like, because I can look at my house and be like, oh, on this side of this wall, this is where this is. Yes. On this side of this wall, this is where that is.
Right.
I think, in my head, I think he knew what he was doing. Yeah. I think he knew where he was shooting. You think she would be there.
I think that he wanted to try to hit her, to scare her. But how deranged is that you want to try to shoot someone, but, oh, maybe I'll just get him in the leg, and then they'll be scared, so then
Well, I mean, how deranged is it to stalk someone? How deranged is it to pretend to be kidnapped?
Yeah.
To pretend to break into someone's house.
Right.
Just to get attention.
Yeah. But I just wanted to end, you know, this kind of topic and this episode just saying, kind of like what Megan was saying earlier, if someone comes to you and things feel off, don't be afraid to say something. Speaking from, you know, experience of just speaking from me freely. If someone comes to you and talks to you, you know, don't leave them. You know what I mean? Because the worst thing that that person can go through, they're already going through enough. And also, you don't need to tell them something that they don't already know.
Yeah.
You know, they already know that their situation is tough and they already know what the right thing to do is. Or if it is, it's the right thing. I could say that, right? But you can't, they already know that, and they're not coming to you for you to judge them and for you to tell them everything that's wrong. They just need you to listen.
Yeah.
And if, you know, you think someone's that is going to hurt, like, harm themselves in any way, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and get them help. And if you have those kind of thoughts, there's a lot of different outlets and ways that you can go to get help and to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. So that's always kind of out there and available. And even with the two of us, if you want to talk to the two of us, we have our email posted. You can message us on Instagram. It doesn't matter how you get a hold of us, but if you just need to talk, there's two of us and we're here and we'll talk to you.
Absolutely. And we live, we live in an age now too, where like, cause I know like growing up, I had a lot of personal struggles and like, I probably really needed to see a therapist, but mm-hmm. I refused to go sit in front of a therapist and talk.
Yes.
But now we live in an age where you can literally, they have companies. I know of one, but I'm sure they have more than one
mm-hmm.
where you can text your therapist. You can call them over the phone, but yep. like not look at them. Like
yep.
you can just text a therapist. Like that would have saved me so many problems when yes. I was younger.
Yeah.
Just because of like my social anxiety. Like I was like, oh, I can't talk to a therapist.
Sit in front of someone and talk to them.
But like it would have been so easy to just text once. Like
yeah.
with all those like resources that we have now, like there are so many options to yeah. get help. So
yeah. So don't be afraid to reach out. And if you have someone that you think is going through something and you want to try to help them, you know, think about the way that you're going to approach it, but don't be afraid to help someone.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode and to all of our episodes. And we hope you come back for another week. Rate us online on Spotify and
Apple Podcasts
and share our podcast with others. And we still don't have a tagline.
It'll come to us. It's no pressure. It's yeah. fine.
So we're going to leave you at this.
And if you guys have any episodes that, because we're making like lists of what we want to cover, but if you guys have any case suggestions, we would love to hear yeah. what you guys want to hear, because we want to make sure we're covering things that are interesting, but not, because I don't want to cover like, because I don't know, we're still, because we were talking about this the other day, how we want to cover bigger cases, but I'm also yep. a little hesitant about that right now, just because we're still so new to this.
Mm-hmm.
Our researching isn't what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And
it's a learning
process. A couple months. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I'm trying to stay away from like the really, really, really big cases right now, just because I know I'll be able to do it better later.
Yeah.
But if there's anything you want to hear, like, please let us know. We would love to make sure we're covering what you guys find interesting, like what you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
So you can always email us. Our email is in our Instagram bio. You can send us a message on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, however you want to do that, mm-hmm. you know, we would love to hear your thoughts.
We like hearing what you guys like and don't like. And
yeah.
we like your input. So we hope you guys have a good week and we'll see you next week. And goodbye.
That's it.
All right.
See ya.
All right, bye.